Blog Talk Radio.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Is racism hurting you? On issues of race, are you unable to speak, think, and act with clarity and confidence? Are you tired of laughing when nothing is funny, smiling when you are not happy, agreeing when you really disagree? CounterRacism.com, you can learn specific strategies and techniques to counter the behaviors of the people who practice racism in all areas of activity. Using words correctly, following counter-racist logic, even counter-racist science projects designed to reveal what racism is, how it works, and how to counter it. The open source code writing format allows you to pick and choose from a variety of counter-racist suggestions so you can produce the code that works for you. Stop by counterracism.com today and help replace racism with justice.
That's counter-racism.com.
Greetings, this is the Counter Racist Evolving Engineer Program. The acronym for the program is CREE, C-R-E-E, and that is my handle. The date is September 12, 2014. The title of this segment is My Tortured Affair with Black Men, a Baldwin-esque lens. So, I guess I'm trying to explain why I'm even having this particular broadcast, and as I get into why I'm having it, it really is the entire content of it. I'm torn, really, as to how much I want to engage black men as I talk about this issue of white domination and all of its aspects, because, of course, I have communicated this before, the support that black women have given black males in their fight for manhood, in their protest against mistreatment and abuse by white folks, has generally not been reciprocated. And I was feeling better about this because I had been reading through my Facebook timeline and I had seen a number of black males who were not just liking and sharing posts by black females about this double standard that just the latest evidence of it is this whole Ray Rice, Jhené Rice thing. But I had actually seen some black males of their own initiative post their own thoughts on the matter about how distasteful this lack of reciprocity is and how hypocritical and how illogical all of these defenses of Ray Rice's behavior is and how much it parallels the defenses and minimizations that the supporters of Darren Wilson and George Zimmerman et al. Have been making for the abuse of black males. And these were black males who were pointing out these hypocrisies and how much it paralleled the way that white folks who practice racism defend these abuses against black males. So I was feeling better about it. And then I was having a conversation with a black male, I mean, within the last half hour, I was having a conversation with a black male who I considered friendly, as close to a friend as, you know, as we can have under the system. And what I heard from him was not defenses, really, not the kind of explicit sort of defenses and these kinds of outrageously backwards interpretations of the video, that elevator video showing what happened between Mr. Rice and Mrs. Rice. They weren't married at the time. Not that. Not really defenses of it, but these explanations as to why it didn't matter to him. Oh, this doesn't concern me. I really don't care because, you know, these professional football players, they're programmed to be violent, to hurt people as much as they can. They can't just turn that off and on. Or I don't care because it doesn't affect me. And those were the exact words that were used. I don't care because a lot of these women, they go out of their way to seek out these men for the money. Well, I'm not like that. So I don't even know why this even concerns me. I don't do this to women. Did my very best. I mean, there was nothing that he said that I hadn't heard before, hadn't read before. But even more, there was nothing that I heard him say that didn't bring to mind the exact types of things that I would hear many moons ago when the people that I hung out with were mostly white folks when I was very young, my 20s, even in my teens, that there was this silence and that if the subject should come up, these tree huggers, these Birkenstock wearers, these quote-unquote progressives would not have much to say. And if they did have something to say, they would say, oh, well, that's not me. You know, I love everyone. I don't do these things. It doesn't concern me. Oh, you seem to be so upset about this, but that's your thing. I understand it. But, you know, the people I know, we don't do these kinds of things. We don't even think about these kinds of things. Well, you know, it's just terrible that really society is just run for the very rich, the very elite. And they don't really care about the rest of us anyway. These police, they're just terrible. They're just programmed not to care about people. Always a diversionary tactic, always conflating it, always making it not really about racism. We're definitely not about them. No reason for them to go out of their way to make sure that their stance and their position is made clear to other white folks. It didn't sound any different. And I was just thrown back into the same level of disappointment that I was before I had read these more encouraging posts amongst the myriad of the opposite in my timeline on Facebook. But the thing that motivated me the most to just share where my mind and my heart are regarding this are not the things that black men are saying, but rather the things that black women are saying. And that's where this idea of this being Baldwin-esque came up. Because I realized something about James Baldwin a while back. And there's a particular way that he wrote that utilized every bit of cleverness, every bit of appealing to empathy and understanding the psyche of people in order to make a case about how racism does exist and how it must affect not only black people, but white folks as well, that there really was nobody better at conjuring up all that one could conjure up, the genius that he had in conjuring up the empathy that one has for those who are of like kind. That, I think, was his genius. And but what I realized about him is where that was, in all likelihood, in my opinion, coming from. In other words, what motivated it? And what motivated, I believe, Baldwin to make this impassioned, he would dampen every emotional impulse he had to just be enraged and give up and just let no verbal stone unturned to appeal to the empathy of white folks, even in anger, that sounded to me the way that lovers appeal to another, the way that a lover will appeal to another to understand what it is that he or she has done to hurt you. Because you're convinced that this person really cares about you. You're convinced because of your past passionate loving engagements with this person, and you're invested in believing that they really care about you. And if you can only get them to see how much they're hurting you, because you know that they love you, you know that they care about you, if you can only find just that correct combination of words, it must be just some specific combination of words to get this lover to understand the harm that he or she is doing to you, they will come to their senses. And I believe that Baldwin's engagement with white men emotionally in his homosexual affairs is what led him to believe that white folks were redeemable and that they really did care. It's because he was their impassioned lover that he knew that they loved him and that he was just pleading with them because he had no doubt that they were people who loved them who could be persuaded. And as such, he did everything he could to persuade them. And I think it is only because of that, it's that same sense that black people have towards white folks, that we get so upset with other black people who we call cooning, who we call, you know, who give excuses, who get on Fox News and agree with white folks that black people have done something incorrect, and that's why we're in the situation that we're in. I think that's the reason that most black people, and, you know, like me, like I used to be, I'm not anymore, that doesn't bother me anymore because I don't have any hope for white folks having empathy for me as like kind. But we think that these are black people who white folks care about, and they have, and that these black people have white folks' ear. And if they have their ear, because they care about us generally, you know, they have their ear, they can be led astray by these black folks into believing things about us that are not true. And we want to state our own case. We want to state a case that will actually get them to love us, to get them to love us collectively. And we believe that these other black folks are doing harm to our cause, like a family member would come in and say things about a situation in a marriage that are not really stating your case well and are making it seem as if you're the bad person and then making this other person in the marriage feel like they don't have to make changes. This is why I believe we get so upset when we hear these black folks get up on Fox News and take Sean Hannity's line, because we really believe that they care about us. And so when black women minimize situations such as what happened to Janae Rice, taking the standard line that many of these black males are taking. When black women get up and say the kinds of things that Shahrazad, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, Ali, have said about black women, when they take up for and excuse Ray Rice's behavior and the Cleveland bus driver's behavior and at all of that type of thing. It upsets me in the same way that I used to be upset when I would see Larry Elder, you know, go on ABC News and talk about the irresponsibility of black people. Because I still believe, I still want to believe that black men care about black women. That if only they could understand it in the context of the way that white folks treat them, surely they will come to their senses, because they don't really regard themselves as different. And I'm upset with black women who make it, who don't allow us to state that case, who make excuses for the misbehavior of these black males who are not only physically abusing black women, but those black men who either don't, who either applaud it, and there are a lot of them that do that, who with a lot of fanfare applaud it, who say outrageous things like I've been hearing that Janae Rice attacked Ray Rice, when clearly you can look at that video and that it doesn't show that any more than it shows that Rodney King was, you know, beating up on the police in California, or that the witnesses were saying that Michael Brown was a threat to Darren Wilson. It doesn't say that, but there are all of these black males who remain silent and claim that black women are as much of a threat to black men as they are to us. And I think, but don't do that. Don't do that, sis. Don't do that. We need to improve this relationship. I believe it can be. And I guess, you know, that I'm coming to a place where I wish James Baldwin had been able to go. And I think that his entire life he was not able to go there because he had been so passionately engaged with white men. I'm not ready to let go of a belief that black men can see what they're doing, especially because I am seeing, you know, changes. But I want to be at a place where when black women say the things that they do that are a betrayal of truth and justice, that I don't get upset about it anymore. So I could name the black males who have been, I thought, great, or think are, you know, are wonderful counter examples. I have a number of them in my mind. They would probably fill up two hands, maybe a little better. But I'm so afraid that I'm going to leave one person off, and I don't want to do that damage because each one of these men are very, you know, important. I just didn't want to get to the point where the only people that mattered, the only, you know, males that really mattered to me was a small group and my husband, you know. I'm not sure where we're going. As black people collectively, I'm not even sure that I want to discuss anything that has to do with racism at all, except inside that small circle. I don't know if I'm at the point where I'm kind of through reaching out to try to find more for the matrix, you know, out to pluck out of the matrix. You know, part of me wants to just delete all but about 35 or 40 people on my Facebook friends list, and then just get to work as a sort of an army of one, you know, what I can do in my survival unit in trying to get to the bottom line, trying to do some science, trying to stay, you know, stay in existence, to try to do some science and to try to promote science so that we can kind of get out of this situation and not, you know, not really reaching out beyond my immediate circle, but to do the science to get to the point where, and promote the science where we can have our own defense systems, because that ultimately, you know, is the only thing that's going to get us out of the situation. I don't know what else can be said or done. I don't know how many articles can be written about the misogynoir, which is a specific anti-black misogyny. I don't know how much more can be said about the self-hatred and the beauty standards that affect black women disproportionately more than black males. I mean, Marcus Garvey and his wife have been saying the exact same things that the most impassioned, talented writers are saying on the subject today. I mean, it hasn't changed. You can look at the newspapers from the Universal Negro Improvement Association about 100 years ago, and it's the exact same thing, and nothing changing. And I don't know if it's just going to be the way that it is. I don't know if as a group of people we're just destined to be cattle, or we're destined to go out of existence, unless maybe some small percentage of us who are different, you know, maybe 2% of us will survive and we'll make an entirely new subspecies, now called race. I don't know if this is despondency. It's hurtful, but it might actually just be realistic. This might just be a complete waste of time to talk about racism generally. Maybe there are just a few of us that need a way to defend our existence in the existence of our progeny and forget about the rest. I mean, that might just be the most logical use of time. So, you know, I'm not sure. I've become less and less of a presence on Blog Talk Radio. I might become less and less of a presence on Facebook. Of course, I can be persuaded to the opposite view. I'm just telling you where I am now, and I suspect that where I am is not too different than where a lot of black women are who are, you know, really able thinkers. I don't know what can be done. I really don't know what else can be done. I'm definitely to the point where I do not want to debate it with anybody anymore. If you don't see it, you don't see it. And that goes for racism as well as misogynoir, N-O-I-R, which is a French word for black. So, and I guess the gin in misogynoir, M-I-S-G-Y-N-O-I-R. The G-Y-N means guy, and it's a reference to, you know, gynecology, or women, and mis meaning dislike. So dislike of black women. Not just misogyny, but a dislike of black women. So if misogynoir is something that neither black males or black females have an impulse to fight against, if they're unreasonable, if they just can't see the arguments that have already been put forth, if self-hatred in general and a lack of ability to comprehend that we live under a system of white domination and a lack of confidence that we can get out from underneath it are not in you in some basic way, you don't have to have read the latest reading list. You don't ever have to have read Neely Fuller, but if in some basic way that's not in you, I'm just not so sure that persuasion has anything to do with it anymore. I don't know. I've become a little bit fatalistic. No, more than a little bit fatalistic. I think if we're destined to survive, it's going to be the few of us that get it. And I'm not so sure that it's a matter of being exposed to the right information anymore. I think information helps. It's just like there are people in the Olympics, you know, in whatever event that, you know, they were recognized. They had a natural ability, and then training and the right kinds of equipment helped them hone that ability. But people who just did not have the ability are just not, no matter how much training you know, no matter how much training or equipment, they're not going to be Olympic contenders. And I've gotten to be somewhat fatalistic in believing that about the black folks who are going to survive this system and whatever gene line that they have. If we survive at all, I mean, I've gotten to the point where we may not survive. Whatever it is, and I don't believe, let me be clear, I don't believe that there's any inherent lack of intelligence on the part of black people individually, but as a collective, quote-unquote race, as a collective subspecies, we have something. We have something that just is not, we don't have an ability to work together collectively. And it's hard for me not to believe that's innate. We don't have a siege mentality. We don't have a hive mentality, and I don't know what can be done about that. So I was hoping that someone would call in and raise their hand and disabuse me of this point of view, but that hasn't happened. And it, you know, I don't know if the people listening are in a position. But that's it. Guess very close to ending what it is I have to say on this is my favorite quote by James Baldwin, and it is from his book Take Me to the Water. No name in the street. And it is this quote. Now, I include myself in this quote, but here it is. Incontestably, alas, most people are not, in act, worth very much. And yet, every human being is an unprecedented miracle. One tries to treat them as the miracles they are, while trying to protect oneself against the disasters they've become. So, I suppose that I have become a disaster from which one might need to protect oneself. But I can no longer bear the misogynoir, whether that's coming from black males or black females. White folks, they're white. Non-black folks are what they are. What they think about me, what they feel about me, has no effect on me. But I have just been heartbroken. I've been absolutely heartbroken by the misogynoir of black males principally. And, you know, occasionally I just feel brutalized by the misogynoir of other black females. So that's it. Unless the two folks who are on the line have something to say and press that one, I've got nothing else to say about it. Ah, got a hand up. Your last four digits are 3759, and I am opening your mic. Your mic's open.
Greetings,
let's say you.
Decree 7. This is Orimi Jafumi on Facebook. And, sister, I hear you. I feel you deeply as far as simply being overwhelmed by the misogynoir, misogyny, anti-blackness, whatever we choose to label it, it is exceptionally damaging to especially a black woman's soul. It really is. It damages all of us, black men and women, non-white black men and women, but it does something to the female that I am convinced black males haven't the capacity to really comprehend. I don't really think they have the willingness or the capacity to get it, just how damaging it has been and continues to be and probably will continue on as far as the war is concerned. We are a people non-white black people don't understand the war in general, that the fact that racist white terror dominators have declared war on us for hundreds of years. We don't get that. We're certainly not going to get the damage that's being done to the people, to the females who are within this war considered even less than the males. And for us to expect that they're going to get it, I don't know if that's necessarily dealing in reality either. It is painful.
Wow.
And there are a lot of us, we are silent, and we're silent, but there are a lot of us who, sisters specifically, non-white black females, when we come together, this is what we talk about. And that pain is palpable. You can feel it. You can see it. When I'm out moving around on the streets, I don't have to have conversations with a lot of black females. You can see it in their countenance. You can see it on their faces, their body language. Everything is speaking, I am not loved. I am not valued. My own man does not want me. You can see it. Where the area of the world that I'm currently domiciled in, when I'm out and about, I'm looking at nothing but single female after single female. We're all moving alone. You'll see some younger women together. You'll see a few older women together. But the majority of the females, they're shopping by themselves. They're on the train. They're on the buses by themselves. They're walking down the street by themselves. How is that possible? It is possible because we do not understand the global system of racism, white terror domination, and the fact that these psychopaths, these demonic entities in the form of Europeans, Caucasians, white people, whatever they are supposed to be, I'm not quite clear on that, but I am clear that they are the enemy, that they are the problem. But the vast majority of our people don't know that. And our males really don't want to own up to it, because it would mean that they would then have to see how impotent they are. So they, in turn, not all, but unfortunately too many, will then put all of that anger, that rage, that impotence on us, on the female, when it does not belong on us. It really does not belong on them, but like in the book written by Bobby E. Wright, not written by him, but Psychopathic Racial Personality,
mm-hmm.
What does he say? He talks about that moment of truth when the bull turns, and for the very first time after being gored, after being stabbed and stabbed and stabbed and running after this cape, there's a moment of truth when the bull is able to turn and see the matador for the first time. We haven't gotten there. The vast majority, yes, there are some of us, but the majority of us, our males especially, they haven't seen the matador. They want to run after white females because they've been programmed to. They want to go after white males because they've been programmed to. And everything turns to, it's our fault. We're working with the white supremacists now. Black females are the new face of white supremacy. I saw that online earlier today, and I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. Now, they raped us both. They enslaved us both. They castrated him and disemboweled us and cut off our breasts and cut out our vaginas and did all these things. But we have become the face of white supremacy. That is, pardon the language, that's masterful. That is absolutely brilliant how you have, pardon me, you have this type of thing going on and you have the people who are being terrorized and genocided turning against each other. And the males who are the ones who are supposed to be the protectors and all that other stuff that comes with manhood that was out of Africa, but we are not there anymore. We don't have those cultures in place for the most part. You now have them turning around saying it's what we've done. His only complement, his natural complement, his natural partner, it's what we have done to them. And, of course, the white female gets a pass in all of this. If they may say, oh, the white man is doing this, or the white man is doing that, but they always give the female of that group, the succubus, they always give her a pass. And then some of our females do the same thing. Again, that's the programming. That's the having been terrorized for hundreds of years. And so it has worked. It has worked very masterfully, where now we are the face of white supremacy. And I'm like, this is absolutely incredible. And that's, for lack of a better word, for lack of a better term, it is beyond, actually, it's beyond reason. When all you have to do is look at the history and you will see who the problem is. So I do understand how you feel. I came in on your call really late, so I don't know everything that you've said, but in reading your post and over the time that I've been on Facebook, I think I pretty much have understand of where you are. So I just wanted to let you know, I did not want you to end the call because normally I'm silent except for on Facebook. But I wanted to let you know that I hear you and I feel you. I understand. I understand because I'm the same way. I move about all day long, all evening long. And for the most part, black males don't really even make eye contact.
Right.
And I'm not imagining this. I'm talking to other sisters, younger and older, and they are the same. They're saying the very same things. The males, they don't even make eye contact. And if you speak to one, depending on what mood he's in, he may grumble or he may say hello. And you know, that's giving the benefit of the doubt. Some of them will do that. They will acknowledge you. But a whole lot of them, too many of them, it appears that they haven't the capacity to see our humanity, our femaleness. But if a white girl walks by, it's like, oh, the second coming.
Yeah.
She's here. Look at her. And they're turning their heads. And I have one dear little sister friend who is like 22 years old. We talk back and forth, and she comes to me and she says, she tells me, the guys won't even talk to me. Mm. Or they'll look at her, but it won't go any further. And I'm like, my goodness, what does a 22-year-old do then?
Oh, my goodness.
So, please excuse me for rambling on.
No.
I understand. I do.
You haven't rambled one bit, and I really, it would be impossible for me to communicate to you how much that meant to me. And what I've discovered is that probably 80 to 90% of the smartest black females are probably smarter than me because they figured out that it's not worth their breath most of the time. And so they're very economical like you. I mean, I usually won't hear from them, and then after 2 years, I'll hear, oh, my God, you've been there all that time, and my God, you're smart. You're smarter than you're very, very smart. And but you've just decided it's not worth saying anything. And just ahead of me on the curve. And something else. But there's another caller who raised their hand, but I wanted to ask you a question. 5282, yes. I do see you there. If you just hold on with us, please. Orami, let me ask you this. I hear what you're saying about most of us not even seeing the matador, not even seeing the system. I think what has been so grotesquely painful for me is I'm used to that from white folks. I'm used to that misogynoir from white folks. I'm used to that misogynoir from most black people, most black males especially.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what has me on the verge of tears right now, and this won't be the first time, is that the majority of males who have read Bobby Wright, who have read Neely Fuller, who have read Amos Wilson, Francis Welsing, all of it,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to these issues, they're silent, and if you press them, they give you basically the same verbiage as these other black males. That has wounded me so deeply I don't even know how to express it. And they always minimize it, this latter group who claim to know about this system. There's a question coming. This latter group seem to manage to minimize it by lumping it all in the same basket as gender wars or total victimization. They will not ever say that what a black male has done to a black female or what black males are doing to black females, even though they may have been victimized into that point of view, they won't say it was wrong. He shouldn't have done it. There's always a but, or there's always it wasn't wrong because she did thus. These males, how do you, have you seen that, and how do you deal with that if you've seen it?
I have seen it. I have experienced it firsthand. I remember just a quick anecdote, a story. I was at a meeting of so-called conscious people. It was a Welsing lecture in the D.C. area. And Dr. Welsing had laid out all her brilliant information for like 3.5 hours straight. And after the meeting had ended, I was standing around with a group of people, mostly males at that time, and I said, they were asking, how did each of us wind up wanting to learn or asking questions about racism, white supremacy? And I stood there, and I was like one of the last people to speak, and I said that I came into it wanting to understand my paternal, my father, my attempted father. And they said, well, you know, what does that mean? You wanted to understand him. And I explained that I needed to try and understand, get a handle on why this black male was so enraged. Mm-hmm. He caused chaos in the house. I don't ever remember a moment when he was silent and at peace at all. He caused absolute chaos, and I told him that. And I said he was alcoholic, and I said, interestingly enough, he was darker complexion, and he had these very ugly names that he would call me, especially, as his offspring. Would you believe standing there among all these so-called, in quotes, conscious males said to me, oh, no, don't say that about your father. And I'm like, hey, so what, you mean not to tell the truth? He was, my attempted father was a very enraged black male, and he took it out in the home. He terrorized his wife. He terrorized his offspring, and I simply told the truth. I didn't say I was enraged about it. I said I came to I needed to understand why. So getting Dr. Welsing's information helped to put his behavior in its proper context, so then I could make sense of what I had experienced. But those males stood there and told me that I was wrong in even saying that he was alcoholic.
Oh, my God.
And,
oh, my God.
And so from that and all the other experiences that I've had, that I've seen other women, other non-white black women have, you get to a point where you say, okay, this is their programming. This is their coping mechanism within the global system. And it will take, I'm not sure what, for them as males, to those who are suffering from that insanity, to get beyond that, where they are finally able to tell the truth and make peace within themselves that they have not been men. They have that within the global system, it has been taken away. What they think of as manhood has not been what they have really been operating out of. And for them to finally make peace with the fact that they've actually been, in a lot of instances, not all, I'm trying to be just in saying this, but they have to make peace with they've been operating out of a white male's, a white supremacist sensibility when it comes to dealing, looking at themselves and looking at and dealing with their own females. That takes a lot to come to that, to put it within its proper context. That means you really have to look at you. And you have to look at what the war has done to you. There had to have been compartmentalization. There had to have been a serious split for the hundreds of years that our, you know, the females were raped in front of them. The children were raped in front of them. They themselves were raped and sodomized and everything else, and they couldn't do anything about it. So this is a part of their, in my opinion, their coping mechanism. They have to blame us, those who are of that mindset. There are a few. There are some who are healing from that and who are functioning at a higher level. But the vast majority, they're not. They're not. And they probably won't be anytime soon. And so I'm not going to keep fighting that battle. I'm not. It's not worth my energy. I've got to function within a global system. And I have no war against black males. And someone's at the door. So I'm going to mute my line.
But come on back whenever you get ready.
Okay, I will.
Okay, thanks. Okay, 5282, your mic is open.
Hi, Tree. This is Tiffany. How are you?
Oh, well, I don't know. How does it sound that I am today? How are you?
I am okay. I'm okay. Okay, I've been listening to the broadcast, and I did have to take another call, so I didn't hear the last part, but I kind of got the gist of what you were saying just from, you know, listening to it from the beginning. And, you know, I just want to say that, well, it's strange that you would even have this broadcast today because when I actually told her I wanted to speak with you yesterday, and this is what I wanted to speak about.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I don't believe she's, you know, talking about this, but I really don't know where to start. I'll just say that I agree with you and the other caller completely, wholeheartedly. I can relate to a lot of the things that she spoke about as far as interacting with black men out in public and the, you know, the no eye contact or seeing them break their necks to look at white women. And, you know, there's so many things that both of you said that I can that I can relate to. And I am at my wit's end about it. I'm at a point where I just don't know what to do. Or, I mean, I don't even know if I should care anymore, right. You know. It's like it's a losing battle to get black men to pay attention to what we're saying. And, of course, like you said, it gets lumped in with this is, you know, this is kind of fueling the gender war, or you're a feminist, or it's like they just don't want to hear it. So it is frustrating and it's heartbreaking to see, and like you said, even the men who are supposedly, you know, aware of the system of racism, they exhibit some of the same behaviors that black men who don't, you know, who are not aware of the system. I mean, they kind of join in with the same line of thinking and behaving. And so when you see that from people who claim to understand what's going on, you just get to, well, for me, it's like you get to a point where it's just like, forget it. Just forget about it. And then even a lot of black women, they don't seem to care or pay attention, or they're just as quick to call you a feminist as some of the black men are when you bring up issues like this. So I just don't understand why we are not worthy, or we are not seen as worthy enough to have these issues taken seriously, to have them addressed, to, you know, just even have them acknowledged. It's very hurtful. I had a woman the other day on Facebook, well, I've had a few women on Facebook call me a feminist, like within the last few days, and one of the women asked me, because I was talking about all this stuff, and she said, well, do you have a man? She said, well, if you have a man, what's your problem? What are you worried about? And I mean, I don't even know how to address that, you know? So I just don't know what to do at this point. And I'm glad you have the broadcast. I understand where you are, because and I don't know what we're supposed to do at this point. And I don't know what it's going to take for black men to get it, for them to address these issues. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to tolerate this treatment? Or, I mean, what are we supposed to do? We're kind of pushed into a corner, or just kind of back, you know, into a corner. I don't know what to do at this point either.
Yeah, I've got probably 25 years on you, and or maybe a little less, and you know, this is where what Fuller says about us, age not meaning anything, comes into play, because I don't have any more insight into what we're supposed to do at this point than you. I don't know. I'm just left with, I know about a year or two ago, LBM and I held a program called the Nuclear Option, which meant, well, we've been pushed back into a corner to where now what we have to do is just say, all right, since you've left us on our own, we're not out to hurt you, but you're on your own as well. We won't be the first ones to protest, you know, your abuse. And there have been more and more articles coming out and doing that, and the black males who are supposed to be less confused, who have read all of these authors, they took great offense to that in every possible manner, and, you know, took every opportunity to say how horrible we were for taking that position. So yeah, I don't know what we're supposed to do, and yet, so see, let me take this opportunity to correct something that I said. And this was my coping mechanism. I think the last program I was on, I was having a conversation with Universal Jones, and I said, you know, I'm beginning to believe that maybe it's not so much about this whole color thing and the interracial thing, that maybe it has something to do with their lack of being able to be competent in the world. Because my experience with black males is not unpleasant, and that part's still true. my experience with black males is not unpleasant now, but if I were to look back 30 years ago, it was. And I think the only reason it isn't now is because the ones that I interact with are ones who assume me, let's say they're in their 40s, and they assume me to be a little bit younger than them, even though I'm quite a bit older. So you know, I mean, they know that I'm not going to take any nonsense because I'm definitely not a young woman. But at the same time, they think I'm younger than them. So it's a little bit, it's sexual stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if I were to look at how black males deal with black women in general, you can't get their eye contact. I was standing at the pharmacy. This maybe was a couple of weeks ago. I was standing at the pharmacy. And, you know, I heard Army's voice crack, and it's kind of difficult to have these conversations and not want to cry. But I'm standing in line at the pharmacy getting something for my daughter, and there's a black male in front of me who was probably in his early 30s to mid-30s, and he had one of those, I don't know what you call them. There, it wasn't pornography, but it was one of those girly magazines where the women are very scanty. And the whole thing is full of nothing. It obviously catered to black men. I didn't get to see the front of it, but it obviously catered to black men because of, I could tell by the shape of the bodies and whatnot. It was focusing heavily on behinds because he's standing right in front of me, and he's flipping and looking very carefully. And they're all these Latinas. And, I mean, if they were black, I sure couldn't tell it. And I just was so sick of the fact, and he knows I'm standing right behind him, okay? And he had no shame in just looking through it. And at some point, I became so disgusted with the fact that he wouldn't even care enough that a black woman behind him looking at him ogled these non-black women, that I let out a sigh that said, I did something like, and he looked back and saw me shaking my head. And then, I mean, he still didn't get it. Mm-hmm. He looked at me and laughed and said, huh, what? Yeah, that her tattoo's disgusting, isn't it? I didn't see any tattoo. That's what he thought. And, I mean, just the fact that we aren't even worthy of being, of considering that it might be offensive to us. I mean, I don't know what, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I as I recall, you were on Universal Jones's program, The Justice Lab, and you were on the program talking about, you know, how you negotiated it and how you got into the relationship, that you have someone. And certainly, you know, listen, this is not a program for me. I'm not ever going to get up and talk about all the difficulties I have in my relationship, but I do want to set the record straight that, after hearing yesterday's program, that we are not living in the land of gold and honey here. I mean, you know, we are a black couple and we have problems, okay? Mm-hmm. And we care about each other, but we have problems, and I don't need to tell everybody what the details of those problems are, but it doesn't, but still, I'm not immune. Just because I'm part of a couple like you, that doesn't mean that I'm immune to this I don't think the word contempt is too strong of a word. This contempt and disregard that black males have for black females. I have to be out in the world. I'm not just with my husband all the time.
Right.
And, okay, I'm kind of done with that.
Yeah, and contempt is not too strong a word. It's not. And I don't think in all the conversations that I've had with non-white black females who are looking at the same thing that we're talking about now, none of us seem to have an answer. None of us know exactly what to do in order to stop this, in order to contain it, in order to fix it. We're all just pretty much standing around like deers caught in the headlights. Some of us are very, very angry, and a few that I've seen they have become somewhat argumentative with the males, but I've learned that there's no point in doing all of that. There's no point in jumping up and down and trying to convince them, because a great many of them, including those that are so-called conscious, they are still coming out of and operating from a patriarchal mindset, patriarchal in the Yorugu sense of the word. And so anything you say to them is discounted. It is of no value because it's coming out of a female mind. It's coming from a female mind, which is less than. And so, pardon me, it is very disheartening. And yes, my voice does crack. And there were points when I first started really understanding just how damaged our relationship with our men, our males, is, has been for quite some time. It was so painful. I would cry. I remember telling a continental African male that I would not have been born had I known that my own men would hate me. That's how painful, how intensely I felt it. To live your life, little girls, we grow up thinking, oh, we're going to, you know, have children, we're going to, well, not in that order, marry, have children, have this wonderful life. And I'm looking all around me and I don't see that. Yes, there are some couples that are successful to a degree, but there are more single black females than there are married or in relationships. They're more single. And the males, a lot of them are single too, and they're getting older, and they're not putting forth any effort to be a couple, to be a part of a relationship. That brings to mind a story very quickly of a lady that I know.
Before you tell that story, Ormy,
yes.
You're going to tell the story, but I just want to acknowledge just real quickly. Your last four digits are 0289. I do see you, and when Ormy has finished her story, I'm going to pick up your line. Go ahead, Ormy.
Just really quickly, I have a friend that's a registered nurse that works in a nursing home, and the nursing home is about 99% black, male and female, non-white blacks. And a great many of the males who are there have never been married. These are people who are now 60, 70, 80, 90 years of age. And she says invariably, without fail, the males will talk about how they have not suffered and don't want to ever suffer the ball and chain of a black female.
Oh, my God.
Yes, the vast majority of the people who work in the nursing home, who are feeding them, who are cleaning them up, who are putting them to bed at night, are who? Black females. Yet these same black males who can barely ambulate, if they're able to do that, or many of them wheelchair-bound, they exhibit the same attitude. And some of them is not contempt. She talked about how you could actually see there was hatred for black females, but she says that it is displaced hatred, that it's really them hating themselves. And because they consider us weaker and themselves to be stronger, they have to displace it and put it off on us. But these are males. Some of them have never been married, and they talk about how proud they are. They don't have visitors. They have nothing during the so-called holidays, but they will gladly talk about how they have not suffered being with no big mouth, wide-hip, nappy-headed, big-nosed black female. And she will come to me sometimes and just sit and shake her head like, this is absolutely insane. And then what I do, I'm seeing some of the very same things. I have black males who tell me, I'm just waiting for a white female to take me, get with me. And I'm like, okay, so I'm a black female, and I'm sitting right here in your face, and it doesn't matter, does it? And I understand, to them, it does not matter.
Yeah.
So,
That's just a cold, hard truth.
Yeah, but I don't cry anymore. I don't cry anymore because I'm clearer now than I've ever been about global system and what it has done to both of us. It really has just devastated our capacity to think correctly. It has devastated our capacity to have empathy for each other, more so male to female than female to male.
Yes, and that's the part that hurts me the most, is that is obviously, like, just glaringly true, and yet you can't get these well-reasoned, logical, well-read black men to admit that. Let me pick up 0289. Well, you're certainly right about that. Let me pick up 0289, and please, no one go away. 0289, your mic is open.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing today?
Greetings.
It's that southern man from North Carolina, but by way of Orange County, California. How are you, Alan?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I missed a lot of the show, so... Actually, I missed everything up until the point. I just called in right now. Can you kind of bring me up to speed on where we're at, and then I'll offer some comments after that.
I'm trying to think. I think either one of these ladies could probably do it better than I can. But I think the phrase that was used was that black females of any age are like deers caught in the headlight, or deer caught in the headlights. We don't have an answer for what we are to do in recognizing that we are not valued or wanted by black males. We are not, and that with only a few exceptions, no matter how well-read the man is, the black male is, we cannot get any admission of that fact. We can't get any just accepting of that fact and acknowledgement of that fact. We just get the same kinds of misogynoir, specific black woman hatred, anti-black womanism, that you get from the less well-read, or those who say they're even, you know, who don't even claim to have read these authors or to have thought about these issues. And so when there is anything that happens to you in your life or the life of another black female, or you see it in the news, you just get this denial that is using the same mechanisms that white folks use to dismiss, minimize, explain away, or blame the victim. You get that from black males. And we don't really, we tried addressing it, tried using every mechanism of logic and empathy we could possibly use, and it goes absolutely nowhere. And it's just, we don't know what to do. It's like, what is even worth it anymore? That's where we are.
Okay. Well, I'm with you. I don't know what to do about it either.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's deep.
I don't have any idea. Sometimes I get to the, when I'm always trying to think about the what do you do about it part, like you guys are, and since we know that you can't get the admission from black males, and black males are out here running around mistreating sisters, for sure, misogynoir, as you said. It could just be time, like I was posting the other day, for everybody just to stay away from each other. I think that may be the only viable solution right now. Because I'm pretty sure there's going to be numbers of there's still going to be numbers of black children being born, regardless. But I don't think there's been a real big push for us to do the no contact, no conflict. I don't think that's really been tried. But I think it may have to until we can all just step back into our own corners and kind of think this thing through and come to something that works. And I don't know anybody that's figured anything out that works. I do hear the brothers giving excuses. I hear the sisters stating their cases, and the sisters are. You're correct. You're correct. I honestly think that when the disconnect comes and black men try to use the same old stuff that white folks are using, I don't think they even realize it. I didn't realize it when I was doing it. Mm-hmm. I didn't catch it for a long, long time. So it'd probably be the cognitive dissonance that goes along with that. It's probably so much that, yeah, it may just be time for us to step back. Because, you're definitely looking at it. I want to use Ray Rice for an example. And I've heard everything. All of the comments and everything like that. I'm just like this. If your life is in danger and you could leave this planet because of the actions of another person, then I think it's correct to defend yourself, anybody, at any given time. I don't think what Ray Rice did one bit had anything to do with defending himself, nor did he feel like he was in danger. When he hit her with that blow, it was like your commentary that the post that you had written, that came from a place of hate. That was nastiness all the way around, all the way around. So I'm thinking there is a lot of self-hatred that goes on. You definitely shouldn't hit any black woman because of the fact that you don't hit white men. That's what I tell brothers all the time. You don't hit white boys. You don't hit white girls. So no, you can't hit black women as upset as you get. But I don't know what to do other than the no contact, no conflict.
I think it probably has just come to that. And, you know, where that may end up going, of course, if it does catch on, and it might just catch on because there's nothing else to do. I mean, eventually a sort of just, I think Fuller said once, and this is one of the things that I never forgot, he said that even an ant will give up and stop trying to push a rock that's too hard for it. Mm-hmm. So eventually, no matter how hard we try to move something and it's not moving, people will just, that's just the nature of any creature. You just give up. And if we give up dealing with each other and just stay away from each other, at least there will be less pain for those of us that are here. And it just could be that we will stop reproducing in enough numbers to replace ourselves, and we might just be out of here. And I'm okay with that. I mean, that's how painful it's gotten. I guess I've given up.
I haven't given up. 3, 7, I haven't given up, but I'm in the same place that you are. I haven't given up. But I understand that when you have a people who have been destroyed so effectively on so many levels, when it comes to being able to think reasonably, rationally, logically, a people who, for whatever reason, haven't the capacity or the willingness to see the global system, which is all around us, then it's only a couple of things that can happen. You either get the understanding and fight like hell to save your life and those people who look like you, or you go down. it really isn't any more, in my mind anyway, it isn't any more complex than that. And so I accept it. I don't want that to be the case. I would like, and this thing about no contact, no conflict, if that wouldn't have to be the case if we would just open our eyes and understand that there is a global system in place which would completely change the power dynamic. But the vast majority of us, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to deal with it. Our males want to operate like they're white males, some, most of them, not all. So there are only a couple of things that will happen. You either save your life or you don't. But I haven't given up. That's why I still talk occasionally. I write on Facebook or I go away, but I'm always thinking about it. But this is our reality at this point. We either sink or we swim. If we swim, it won't be large masses of us that do. And I accept that as well. It is painful. It keeps me up sometimes at night. But it is imperative that reality is faced. For your own sanity, if no one else's. And then what you do is try to impart this understanding to others who are open and receptive. But as far as arguing back and forth, no, done that. I've done that. And I realize some people simply refuse. They cannot. They will not hear.
Like 98%. You know,
yeah.
Like 98%. And I guess that's what I mean by I've given up. It's if it's going to require anything more than just the mildest persuasion, I just want to have a conversation. If it turns into anything like a debate, a proving my point type thing, I have no more energy left in the tank for that. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Either the person is receptive, like talking about where's the best place to get a nice pair of shoes, or they're not. And that's it. It's just the whole trying to make people see or help people see. They've got to be helping themselves. And if they happen to run into me and we get into a conversation and it's natural, fine. But as far as exposing people to something so that they can get it later, I don't know. Now, you can help me with this, but in my experience, either they just, it's in them to want it, to be searching it out and to get it, or it's not. And the rest is just not worth it. Help me. Is that just my cynicism? Because that's what I've seen.
Well, it works for racist man. Their propaganda thing, it runs all day long. It seems to do pretty. It seems to do pretty good for them.
And their propaganda machine is running 24/7, nonstop. We don't have that in place. That, at least, not what I'm aware of. Where it's running 24/7, every message is saying you are to be with your natural mate. You are to see the global system. So, of course, if our message, that message about the global system is not out there 24/7 and it's on everyone's mind and coming out of everyone's mouth, then the vast majority of people, because they are trained, programmed, propagandized within the global system, they're not able to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Again, that goes still back to being not able to hear because of the programming, because of the terror that has been propagated. That's not the word I want. That has been used against us for hundreds of years. It is now within the DNA. So most are not going to hear it, and you just, for me, I'm just grateful that for whatever reason I needed to understand why my attempted father was so angry, which led me on the path to discovering what the hell was going on. The fact that I've got some of it means that I will not breathe my last breath as confused as the majority. I would love to be able to bring others along, others as far as understanding it is the global system that has us at each other's throats, that's effeminizing the men, masculinizing the women, on and on and on, the pedophilia, all of it. But the understanding is I am one person.
Right.
And I don't have that machine. I don't have the propaganda machine in place. If there is someone, I come across someone who is fertile ground, who is open and receptive, then I drop my seed and I keep moving. And unless they come back and say, oh, I need you to tell me more, then I will impart more. But as far as anything else at this point, I've just decided that I'm grateful enough that I got some of the information and that I have come across some other people who have the information. The vast majority of our people, of non-white black people globally, will not get it. And it is not, in my opinion, my job to see that they get it. I got some of it. Other people that I'm in contact with have gotten some of it. And so I'm grateful for that. I wish, like everything, I'm repeating myself, I wish I could. When I first entered the spiral of so-called consciousness, I thought that I could just lay out the logic, lay it out before someone, and they would see the reasoning behind it and go, ah, okay, yes, now I understand why I hate myself. I understand now why I hate people who look like me. But that has not been the reality. And what I hope for and what I want is not going to go across the board and help heal other people. But I thought that I would be able to, so I do it in other ways. I work with other people, and I work with non-white black people, and I try to show them that, yes, you are of value. You mean something. And that's the best, at this point, that I'm able to do unless something else is revealed, unless I get some other understanding. But within the global system, the way it's structured, it's monstrous, to say the least. It can be deconstructed, but it will take that, not even a majority, but just a concentrated effort from a global group that understands and has the power in place to dismantle. But the masses, the majority of the people, they're not going to get it. Don't care what I want.
I think that they won't get it. Most of us won't get it, and I think it's
right.
Because we don't want to get it. As far as the whole no contact thing, I mean, my question is, where does that leave younger black women who want to be married, who want to have children, and they want to marry with, you know, want to marry black men? Where does that leave them? Because a lot of the older women are married, and some of the younger ones are too, but where does that leave when we are? I don't know any other group of women who feel unwanted by their own men. So what are these women supposed to do? I mean, when they go date white men, they're good wenches. You know, they're sellouts. What are they supposed to do? And it's almost like black men it's like they take joy in our suffering. It's not this, well, they're just attracted to these other groups of women, and that's just the way it is. It's like they rub it in our faces. You know, if you're, I've been out and I've seen black men with non-black women, and they give you this look like you know, they want you to be upset about it. They want you to see it. They go out of their way to make sure you see it. And I just, it pains me what, I mean, it's hurtful to see myself, and what, it's just destroyed us as black women. Like the other caller said, I mean, you're out and you see black women, and they are defeated. They do walk around defeated. We feel unloved. We feel unwanted. So what are our options? What are black women to do in terms of dating?
Some won't date because there's not a pool of available men to date. So they will not date. The only thing that I can think of that non-white black women must do in order to stay as sane as possible under the circumstances is you must understand the global system. You must, to the degree you're capable of really getting it and locking it in where it informs every movement you make, everything you do. That's the only thing I personally have found to help me to cope with this. If we do not, those black females who don't have eligible partners to choose from, if they don't do that, they will remain confused. They will remain in tremendous pain, and they will cause confusion. Those are the black females, some of them, not all, who will then, out of their disillusionment and their pain of not having partners, they will go to lesbianism. And that's not the answer either. So if you do not have a clear understanding of the global system, there is nothing but confusion.
Yeah. You know what, Orb? You know what, Orb? Go ahead,
yes.
Tiffany, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask, the ones who do understand the system, so does that mean that these women just, they will not get married, they will not have children? They
yes.
understand
yes.
the system
yes,
and they...
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Painful as it is, ugly as it is, raw as it is, they will not have partners. They will not live fully expressed lives. That is the nature of war.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Welsing talks about it. Neelie Fuller talks about it. I've heard it from other deep-thinking master teachers say the same thing. Within war conditions, when you are in the trenches, not everyone is going to have a supporting partner, and that is just the ugly reality that it is. They will not
mm-hmm.
have it.
Yeah, that's, I think, a long time, years ago, Cree was talking about, or maybe not even Cree, but somebody on counterracism.com was talking about the use of the word natural. And I don't know that we can call anything natural out here right now. In the conditions that we're under, I don't know what natural is. We're in that POW camp. We're in there, and things have to be. I guess things have to be tailored towards, you know, getting out of the POW camp. And in order to do that, then you have to do some things that aren't natural. So the ideas that we have for marriage, I think the ideas that we have for mates and partners, stuff like that. I think those ideas. They were definitely given to us, some of them. Most of what we know was given to us by other people. So it's going to be some really outside-the-box, hardcore tactics that we have to go into. And it's hurtful. It hurts to say it, but
yeah,
it looks like that's what it is.
Now, are one of the ladies on the line... Who was the person? Gosh, I wish I could remember. One of my a really smart female posted a link to what's it called? Fascinating Womanhood. And that was that any of the ladies that are now on the line?
No. Not me.
Okay. And it was about this discussion about how do black females change the market and taking lessons from white females after World War I. That Fascinating Womanhood was a forerunner by, I guess, 60 or 70 years, but there have been different versions of it now, the latest being something called The Rules, whereby you restrict the supply of sexual intercourse. and it's like a union, so the women act as a union restricting the supply and thereby making the value going up of sexual intercourse, but also the person to whom that is attached, the person who, you know, so that if black women became rather being counterintuitive, and instead of doing everything, trying to be super freak and earning, you know, six figures or, you know, five figures and also coming home and cooking, you know, seven course meals and always looking stunning at every moment and making sure that you never gain, you know, more than 3 pounds, and, you know, rather than trying to do that. And so if he wants sex, give it to him and give it to him early. You know, in other words, that's kind of, it's kind of counterintuitive that you have to compete by giving more. That the thing is that the group of young black women have to do what's kind of against their quote-unquote nature and do what's counterintuitive and give less and try not to cheat the group of other black females, because in sneaking and giving more, because when you do that, overall the strength of the collective is decreased and thereby the strength of each individual black female is. And so, you know, I think that there's something to be said for that. That is something that white women figured out, and they figured out what lures men. You know, how to sell things, how to sell anything to men, how they work emotionally. Once she posted that, I went and I found it. There are online versions of it, and I stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning and read that. I think that might be the only alternative. Now, that is a modification of no contact, no conflict, because you're expecting him to produce something of value for you. You're producing something of value to him. And, of course, you're not giving sex until, you know, I think the 200-question things works. But I think that, you know, there's this argument that if they – and black men try to say this, that if black women don't give it up, then they'll just get it easily from non-black women. I don't think that's true. I mean, when I look at the dating statistics, non-black women aren't running to black men. You know, I think that's a game they're running.
Right.
And I'm wondering what you think of that. Anybody?
I would need to sit down. This is Orimi. I would need to sit down and really look over the report before I feel comfortable in complimenting. Right off the top of my head, I'm not certain that there's enough discipline in order to put that in place to a point that it would really impact how we see each other, how non-white black males and non-white black females interact and see each other. I'm not sure. So I would need to, quite honestly, look over what was written before I make a comment further.
Okay. I see two other hands have been raised, 5301 and Our Destiny. So let me take 5301. 5301, your mic is open. Hello, did you mute yourself?
Can I be heard?
Yes.
How
are you, S-Dot? Yeah, you can be heard clearly.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, I had on the mute button. Good evening, ladies and other callers.
Good evening.
I thought that the point that you were just making is logical. I did the reverse in seeking a partner for myself. I recognized that the black females that I was attracting, I was dissatisfied with. I wanted someone who was more culturally grounded, and I was not attracting that, being sexually promiscuous and active. So I voluntarily began to refrain from the sexual contact, and it began initially just as a few months, few weeks experiment, and it turned into a 5.5-year process. And by no means am I telling another person what their time frame should or should not be. But for me, what I noticed is that as time went on, I was not willing to settle for some of the choices that I would have settled for earlier. And beginning that process, and I began attracting a different type female who was more in line with what it was that I was desiring, particularly towards the family dynamic. And for me, when I met my partner, who is now my wife of 3 years, I think that because I changed the way that I was replacing and approaching relationships, I think that I attracted a female that was on a similar path. For instance, when we began the process of talking about dating and I visited her home, I noticed many of the books that were on her bookshelf were either books that I was reading or had read or desired to read. And one of them particularly was the Queen of Fools book, talking about women healing themselves. And it was particularly profound for me because I had read that book and I had longed for there to be a male component to that book, and there was not one available. So I was taking many of the things that Queen of Fool was sharing in that book, and I was reversing them from a male perspective. And we talked about that, and we talked about dealing with sexual dysfunction in our family history, and we talked about raising children, and we had some really lengthy discussions. And it was because of being able to refrain from the sexual contact that I think that we developed a much more endearing commitment, particularly because we were both clear about what the global system is and how it operates and our role in it. And I think that one of the reasons that many black males and black females are at odds is because there's a term that people that are within the church setting use, which is called unequally yoked. Now, if you are an individual who is left confused about the system that is operating and in place, and you attempt to align yourself with a person who is more confused and embracing that confusion, chaos and conflict, and I think that oftentimes, because we are desirous of having a mate, and a mate particularly who is a black mate, that we oftentimes will try to set aside certain things, and certain things are non-negotiable, particularly when you are in a season of war and you know that whoever is meant to be your partner has to be an individual that is ready, willing, and able to perform the duties of a warrior. And if you align yourself with an individual, and we're all not going to be on the same page 100%, of course not, because we're all at different degrees of development, of learning and unlearning. But if you align yourself with a black male, if you're a female, and this black male is much more confused than you, and maybe he has had a series that may have been the relationship prior to you, and the vestiges of that are still present in his everyday demeanor, and you overlook that because you're physically attracted to him or because it is at a point in your life where you just desire a mate, I think that you really do yourself a disservice. So I know that it's very difficult. And, you know, speaking as somebody who's been married for 3 years now, you know, I know it may seem like, oh, well, he's got someone, so he doesn't know what we're going through. But that 5.5-year period was a very, very difficult period and an extreme sacrifice, but I think that it was very much worth it. And as Mr. Fuller says, united and dependent, which means that expecting black women or black men, males or females, form a so-called union where they're going to refrain across the board from sexual activity, it sounds great, but I think in everyday practice, most of us will see that that's probably not practical. So you have to be united independently in your goal, wherever you are, whatever your desire ultimately is for a partner. You have to be united and remain independent in that objective. That's just what I like to add.
Very interesting. I have some questions for you about that, but I know our Destiny has been waiting pretty patiently for quite a long time, so let me take hers, and then I'll and ask you some questions about what you just said. Our Destiny, your line is open.
Hi, Cree. This is Code Lens, and I'm the one that posted that Fascinating Womanhood book. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so Our Destiny is Code Lens. Got it. Okay.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I was just going to say that I agree with what's been said so far. There's been a lot of times where I've had to question whether I wanted to continue with the things that I'm doing and counter racism, just because it's almost like it seems illogical to have this focus on racism if the kind of violence that we're seeing based on misogyny and sexism, if that's going to be ignored, then it's almost like we have to think whether we want to place our focus on one direction. If we're not going to get that support from black males, it's like, okay, well, if no one's going to talk about this, then we're going to have to do it. And so it means that we'll be distracted from this issue of racism. And so that's kind of been my conflict.
Exactly. I think that mm-hmm. encapsulates it entirely. I mean, that's it. And it's kind of hard for me to, I mean, thank you so much for putting it so succinctly, because it's like, even if your ultimate goal is the elimination of this system and its replacement with justice, I don't see how that's going to happen with black females being as wounded as we are, and I just don't see how you're going to get the kind of cooperation. I don't see how the black males are, they can't do it by themselves, and I don't think they're going to get our full cooperation as long as that. We've tried as best we could. We've been doing this for hundreds of years of just putting ourselves second, and there comes a time when there's nothing left to sacrifice. You just can't give anymore. And I just think that we're getting to that critical point, and so unless we get this thing straight between us, I don't even see that there's any hope for us mm-hmm. overcoming the system of white domination. Am I logically getting something incorrect?
No, not from what I see, because, I mean, anytime you're reading, you know, some of these books on military science or when you hear some of these older books where the races were less refined, they always talk about that male and female union and the importance of that connection when building a nation. So, I mean, if we think we're going to skip that part, I just don't think that that's a logical conclusion.
Okay, and to fold in what my questions were about ESTOT, is I understand that you were able to put yourself through that process and be more selective about how you made your choice, and I think that that's great advice for anyone who happens to be in a circumstance in which the choices being those who want them are not really what they want. But I think, and I guess this is the question, if you agree with me, that black females are in an entirely different situation. We're not saying we have a pretty good collection or to select from, and we just want a better selection. I think most young black females are in a situation where they have really almost no one to choose from. So the abstention that I was proposing, I'm not even sure, you know, the abstention from sexual intercourse that I'm proposing, I think is somewhat different, and I'm wondering if, Esther, you agree with me.
Yeah, I would agree with you, because I think that unequivocally, you can't even deny the fact that the choices that are available to black females today is quite horrendous. Our female daughters, and just the prospect of what it's going to be like for them in 15, 20 years is terrifying to me. So I can't imagine what it must be like today, the level of frustration, and I'm terrified to imagine what it's going to be like for them in 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. So I would agree with that.
Okay. Tiffany, are you still on the line?
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we have some sort of delay, and so we're bumping into each other, but if I can see you're still there. I had a question for you, and that was, well, now this is dicey territory for you and dicey territory for me. and so, you know, really, please feel very, I'll put it out to everyone, but
mm-hmm.
I should have put it out to everyone, but I thought I sort of heard, and maybe I didn't hear in there, you didn't state a question, but I think I sort of heard it in there, is that given the situation that black females are in, and that even taking into the context of the war that we're in, is it unreasonable? I'll restate it. Is it reasonable to expect these young black women who have needs just like everybody else, and we're not talking about needs for sexual intercourse. The sexual needs of women, I think I've said this before, go far beyond just sexual intercourse, and our physical needs are the same as black males, but even more so, we need intimacy, the whole bag of intimacy, and that includes sexual activity. But we need physical intimacy, emotional intimacy. These are things that are need. We want to reproduce. As a species, and so these young black women have these needs. They want to bond. They want to feel love and give love, and they want all of that. And so, and yes, we are in the context of white domination. But given this stark situation, with not even just the mismatch in numbers, but just the contempt in which young black females are held, and the total lack of ability to reason with black males to get them to deal with what is causing that contempt, is it, why is it unreasonable for them to accept the proposals of non-black men, even white men? Why is that unreasonable?
I don't think that, I guess that people who understand the system, and I guess if we're talking about black women who supposedly understand the system also, then I guess it would be unreasonable to some people for them to date white men or date non-black men. In my opinion, honestly, I'm on the fence because, and, you know, I stated this on the Justice Black show a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago when we were, you know, talking about relationships between black men and women. And at one point, I dated white men by choice. I did not want to date black men. And it's for, that was because of, you know, some of the things that we're talking about now. So as a black woman at that point, at that time, I thought that I did understand the system of racism, or I had, you know, some understanding of it. I was just kind of coming into it. But I dated, you know, a black man at that time who kind of introduced me to this whole world. And he was just not, you know, he just turned me off from it completely. He turned me off from black men completely because he exhibited a lot of these behaviors that we're talking about. And I was, in my mind at that time, I was done with black men. So I dated white men. And, you know, some people would call that confusion. They would say, well, or they would say that I was a sellout because if I understood the system or claimed that I did, how could I then go and date a non-black man, especially a white man? So I really have conflicting ideas about that, or maybe maybe I just don't understand it as well, or maybe I don't understand the system of racism as well as I think I do, because I don't think it's reasonable to think that these young black women who want to have children, want to be married, I think it's crazy to think that they're not going to date white men. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying it's the answer, because I don't think it's the answer. But I think it's just unreasonable to think that black women will keep putting up with what we do. And it's crazy to expect for us to, in my opinion.
You know, that's where I am at. I'm not going to ridicule it. If I were placed in a time machine with the same mind that I have now, you know, and go back to their ages, I don't think I would do it. I mean, I find white men actually physically unappealing, really bordering on repulsive. Now, and a lot of that has to do with what I think they are, but I mean, physically, I see them differently than I did at that time. Mm-hmm. Yet, I refuse to ridicule a black woman who makes that choice, given what is before her. You know, I think I have said this before. To me, it's the same as ridiculing someone for accepting a drink of water from an enemy combatant, you know, from the other side, mm-hmm. when your own side won't give you any water. It's not quite the same, but that urge to reproduce and have someone hold you is very, very strong. And mm-hmm. so I just think it's a shame, but I will not criticize it and ridicule it. I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I stay on the fence about that because I see what's going on. I see, you know, that we tolerate so much of this from black men, and yet we're expected to remain loyal. Black men are not loyal to us. But then we get into the back and forth, which I don't like to do. But we are, like I said, a group of women who are seemingly not wanted by our own men. Our men have not shown themselves to be loyal to us. I go back and forth. I don't know. I don't think it's the answer. I'm not advocating it, but I understand it completely.
Yeah, I'm not advocating it, but I'm like you. I do understand it. Now, there are some people who will take it even further, and I think there's some logic to this. Under this system, whatever white folks or non-black folks value, black people value. So when non-black people start valuing, or non-black men, at least on the surface, show some value or interest in black women, black women's stock rises. And I'm almost certain you've experienced this, Tiffany. Mm-hmm. I actually know your picture because you post them, and you are just amazingly gorgeous.
Thank you.
So, well, I mean, just are. And I'm quite sure that all men, probably non-black men more than black men, because black men have this weird handicap, a lot of them, in their head about, you know, hue. But, I mean, I'm quite sure that you receive interest from all men, okay? But the part that I'm 99% sure about, almost sure about, now maybe I'm incorrect about this, but have you found that when black men find out that you have seriously dated, I mean, it's sick that you have seriously been involved with white men, now, even though they will say the opposite, your value goes up?
You know, it's true. Yeah, I hate to admit that, but yeah, sadly that is true. Yeah, that's sick.
It's very sick, but it is one. And so almost so that even if our goal is to get engagement with an interest in black females by black males, you know, it maybe
right.
Dating out might be indicated, because anything that is valued by non-black people is valued by black people.
Right. I guess the logic there. Yeah.
And I just heard you say that's true. I heard a male voice say that. I heard Estud say that. Was I hearing things?
Oh, yeah, I did agree with that. I think that I fell into that myself. Now that I think about it, in hindsight, I would think about the young lady who I dated prior to my wife. My wife has natural hair. This young lady had natural hair as well. When I said natural, it was tightly coiled. And she had locks, right? And that's what attracted me to her. So I knew that I was looking for a certain physical type of black female. So as we began, you know, hanging out and talking on the phone and so forth, at some point she indicated to me, you know, I knew from our different activities that we were engaged in, like community-level events, that she seemed very much plugged into black community-wide issues. But then when we were talking one day on the phone, she mentioned offhandedly that one of her most serious relationships was with a white male. And I was like, what? And it shocked me. And I was like, well, how did that happen? And she was told me that after college, she had decided to not let her hair be permed anymore and to wear it natural, and that most of the black males that she encountered gave her such a hard time about it. And a white male took an interest in her, and, you know, it took her a while to decide to go on a date with him. But then when they went out on a date, he was telling her how much he appreciated her hair. And she was shared with him that she was thinking about perming her hair again. And the white male said to her, well, I wouldn't be interested in you. She was like, well, why not? And he was like, I don't want a black woman who wants to be a white woman. I want a black woman who's a black woman. And she said that was so attractive to her that that relationship lasted 3 years after that. And just hearing that she had a white man who appreciated her for being black, it just had this overwhelming competitiveness in me. I wanted to out-want the black woman that he wanted for some strange reason. And it was a really weird situation when I look back on it. You know, our relationship ultimately didn't prosper and go to the next level. Sorry for the baby in the background. It didn't prosper and go to the next level, but when I think back to how her value increased to me because she had dated a white man who particularly appreciated her being a natural black woman, which was a really strange dynamic for me And I've heard a number of my male friends, black male friends, who have revealed to me a very similar thing. You know, one of them, he was giving his fiance, who's now his wife, a really hard time because she dated a white guy while in college. But ultimately, he admitted that it seemed like, you know, if she was valued by the white guy, you know, she was that much more valuable of a black woman. And that's what
right.
really attracted him to her. And that was just
right.
really strange.
Right, right. I mean, I just experienced that so many times. It's the closest thing that a phenotypically black woman gets to being quote unquote biracial. So yeah, it's exactly what you said. It's that the whole if the white man valued. So I just think that the old adage that actions speak louder than words probably applies. At least I think that's what I'm deciding for right now. I'm
yeah.
all out of breath.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all out of breath trying to show black males the hypocrisy of their positions. I'm all out of breath trying to show them how it's a product of their victimization. And I think, you know, that probably young black females ought to probably take the same cue, and probably most of them have. That's why I don't hear from them. They're a little bit saner and smarter than I am, I think. And it just could be that, and part of that might be that, you know, part of the actions are that I'm not talking to you, but I just refuse to have sex with you too. I refuse to have sex with someone who cannot show me over an extended period of time that you value me and cherish me as a woman before we ever lay down in other ways besides sex. And make sure that you feel comfortable about it and that you see it in his eyes. And if you don't and you don't, you know, and he doesn't show you by his actions, it's just not worth, I think I made this PG. It's just not worth the time and the change of sheets. It's probably not worth it. And then, you know, if they're just not interested in you and somehow you do get that sense, enough of it for you, and some of it might be your own programming, what have you, from a non-black male, at least, listen, you're not going to be getting ridiculed from me, and it might raise your stock with black males. Just, I don't know why black females have to sacrifice themselves on the altar. We've tried this before, so I think we have to try something else.
Can I interject something?
Mm-hmm.
I have a black female friend who is early 40s, and she revealed to me a few months ago, she has never dated a white male, but white males have actively pursued her for a number of years, and she revealed to me that she was out with a white coworker, and three black males, noticed them in the restaurant, and when she went to the ladies' room, one of the black males, you know, stepped to her and tried to give her his business card. And she noticed on a few other occasions, if she's in the company of white males, that black males aggressively pursue her. So she has as a strategy, and I don't, you know, condone or condemn this, she has as a strategy utilized these visual traps, if you will, kind of like these networks, illusions, to attract certain black males. And I think that just like all creatures, black males desire to pursue and capture, and just as many of them are confused now and they want to get the ever elusive, although she's not that elusive, white female, because they think that they're capturing and conquering something that white males have, even though white males have shown historically that they're not interested in white females outside of procreation, which is why they go to other nations. I think that if black males really got the sense that black females were looking at or exploring other options, that a lot of them, it might turn the tide on an individual basis. Just putting that out there.
I mean, someone said, who was it that said it? Was it a woman or a man? I don't remember, but I think it's absolutely true. No man wants a woman that nobody else wants. You know, and we are kind of in a position where we're least chosen by everyone. We are, but I mean, when I looked at those the dating statistics in the study, black women are the least chosen by everyone, including, you know, obviously including black males. However, white males accept all males, including white males, Asian males, and Hispanic males. They accept contacts from black women more than black women accept contacts from them. So the point is that your females can trade on gender always, even though if we compare ourselves to other females, we're not preferred. The fact of the matter is that because we're females, we do have more ability to select than males do. So why not use that? I'm just saying, I mean, I've been completely disowned by the contingent of religious United Independent Compensatory Codes, but I just don't see why young black females have to lay themselves on the altar, and it's not working anyway. Ultimately, I think it has to be black people. I mean, ultimately, I think it has to be black males and black females. Anti-blackness reigns, and anti-blackness will reign in your relationship with a non-black person. Understand that going into it. Regardless of the fact that they like you as a person, anti-blackness will still reign in your relationship with a non-black person. But I am saying strategy-wise, there's a few things that I want to clarify, and that's just one of them, that I think ultimately it does have to be that military coupling between black males and black females, but we're not even going to be able to do that doing things the way they are, with black females being so readily available, taking anything, taking all kinds of abuse and mistreatment, and still be willing to take him into a coupling with you and still be willing to be socio-politically engaged with them. No matter what they do, we're always there for them, no matter how much they devalue us. We've been there, the sacrificial lamb. We've been doing that for hundreds of years. That's not working.
Right.
So we have to try another strategy, and so I think this might be another strategy to get into the right formation. The other thing that I wanted to clarify, and I don't think that I did so a little earlier when I was trying to, because I tend to ramble and get discursive, is that when I was talking to Universal Jones on the last program that was on this program, I was saying that, you know, I didn't think that it was colorism so much. But I did leave room for myself. I said, you know, now I may disavow this, I may recant and say, no, I was right the first time. Well, that's exactly what I'm doing. Yes, it is colorism. Yes, it is, it is the imprint of anti-blackness. No, it isn't just that they don't feel accomplished. No, they don't want us because we're black. And so I take it all back for the record. Okay, I'm done talking. Meaning I'm done with that rant. No one else has anything else to say. Okay. Well, I've learned. I feel better. I thank everyone. I thank our destiny. I thank CodeLens. That is our destiny, actually. I thank Orami. I thank, what's going on with my mind? I thank Tiffany. I thank F. Dot. I thank Alan for joining in on this conversation. I feel like I had a therapy session. I feel better. I don't know if we solved any problems, but it just feels like something was solved just by the acknowledgement that we're all just caught in the headlights here, like deer caught in the headlights. And yeah, I just I think that I have officially just stopped being. I'm not going to be in pursuit anymore. I'm not socio-politically in pursuit of black men. I'm just done with that. I'm just done. So, unless anyone has some closing thoughts, I will just say, please stay safe. In whatever manner you think is the most logical, do things to help replace this system of white domination with a system of justice. And I guess I'm signing out for Saturday, September 12th, 2014. Take care.